TV.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to go back to talking about Christian idolatry because it is such a fascinating and really surprising topic. I'm going to be quoting myself again, but I'm also going to be quoting A.E. Nock, the translator of the Concordant Literal New Testament, and Dr. Bollinger. They both had some really stunning things to say about the Christian religion. And these things said by these men are going to work together with what I've said about it. And it never ceases to be a shock that the religion that constantly warns us against idolatry, having idols in your life, they are, in fact, the biggest idolaters on the face of the earth. And what are the idols they warn us about? The idol of beer, the idol of R-rated movies, the idol of sin, really. They have crafted sin into an idol, something to be fought against, something to be paid attention to, something to constantly take note of. And as I said, they've reconstructed what Jesus Christ torn down. And they idolize it by paying attention to it. They have made it into a god, which is so ironic because only a god, I would think, only a god can keep you from God. I mean, God is so powerful. Can only a god keep you from God? Isn't that what God tries? Isn't that what Satan, the false gods, try to do, keep you from God? And what has sin done? Their obsession with sin, with fighting sin, it has kept them from God. And that's exactly Satan's plan, to keep people from the realization of what God has done through Christ on the cross. So the irony, there is no thicker irony. I can't think of anything more ironic than the people who assume they're worshiping God are actually worshiping the enemies of God who were conquered by God's Christ, namely sin and death. They have sick doctrines like eternal death and a place that's the doctrine of annihilation, which some people hold, but the majority of them hold the doctrine of eternal torment, which is a sin in itself. It's a miss. Sin just means miss. Remember that. To think that there's a place of eternal torment, to twist scripture, to take the parable of the rich man and Lazarus and to treat it like it's real, to miss the fact that the King James and other English translations have taken three Greek words, Gehenna, Hades, and Tartarus, and used one English word, hell, to translate three different Greek words. That's three misses in one, three sins. So it's sin after sin after sin after sin after sin. And because of these sins, they present to the world a false god and a caricature Christ. And that doesn't make me very happy. And I discovered it a long time ago. And I'm going to read you the words of some great men who have written about this. Oh, looks like starting with myself. Didn't mean to do that. But this section in a newsletter called Satan's Latest Diversionary Tactic. Let me read you the subtitle of this newsletter. For those of you who want to read it, I will link it down here. It's volume 2, issue 13 of my ZWTF newsletter. This is from August 3rd, 2013. The subtitle is, Our Adversary Once Linked Sex to Idolatry. Now he lives in churches and sets Christians against the wrong enemy. This is Bale Pior, Once Linked Sex to Idolatry. Remember? Enticing Israelite males to engage in sexual intercourse with cult prostitutes and linking them with false gods, which was idolatry. That's what Satan did in the old days. But since Satan has changed his tactics, he now lives in the churches and he distracts Christians by having them fight sex. But the arena is still sex. Listen to this. This section is called False Battlefront. Satan's chief tactic today is deception. He cannot undo the accomplishments of Calvary, but he can distract and divert people from it by engaging them in self-generated, as opposed to scripturally generated, morality campaigns. It's all about morality. It's all about behavior. I had a great revelation about behavior and the Christians' really worship of behavior. I'm going to give that to you this week, I think. I was in the shower. It's like, it hit me that just a brief hint of it here is that we've always said that in the law of Moses is a combination of works and grace. Paul, it's all grace in the law. I mean, not in the law of Moses, but in the circumcision evangel, it is a combination of law and grace. It's a proper combination. But in the Christian religion, which is separate from both the circumcision gospel and Paul's gospel, because they don't follow either one. They mix the two, producing that hybrid evangel, which Paul calls a bastard evangel. A distortion of the evangel, pronounces an anathema on it. They produced a third, quote, evangel, unquote, and it has nothing to do with grace. Nothing at all. Shocking. I'm going to bring this to you this week. It just hit me. I mean, it's incredible. Satan, this is called the new idolatry. Satan has convinced, this is new material here. Satan has convinced countless religionists that sex is our greatest moral threat. The religious are his target market. Well, of course they are. While Christians quibble and judge others over homemade lists of sexual prohibitions, and that's homemade rather than scripture made. They don't go to scripture to find the sexual prohibitions. And then they take the word porneia, which is properly translated prostitutions, and they, at least the NIV does, turns it into sexual immorality, which you can put anything into that basket you want. And they do. They do. It should be idolatry. I mean, it should be prostitution. Prostitution is unlawful intercourse between the sexes. And to find out what was unlawful, you go to Leviticus chapter 20. Anyway, when you change prostitution, the proper translation for porneia, and you change it to sexual immorality, you can make it anything you want. And they do. This is why I say Christians quibble and judge others over homemade lists of sexual prohibitions. While they're doing that, Satan constructs in their midst the greatest field for mass idolatry ever perpetrated upon a people, the Christian religion, mass idolatry. Satan worshipers all. Christianity is the epicenter. Listen to me, please. Christianity is the epicenter of satanic activity today. Not Jeffrey Epstein. Not any sort of sin you can think of today. I am telling you, the epicenter of satanic activity is Christianity. Because no teaching has done more damage to people, has tortured more people, has killed more people, has destroyed more people, has ruined the image of God than the doctrine of eternal torment. Compared to what Jeffrey Epstein did, give me a break. I'm not saying that was great, but this is worse. This is worse than the Holocaust. And I've written a book on that if you don't think I'm serious about that. It's called Christianity's Final Solution. The doctrine of eternal torment is worse than the killing of 6 million Jews. It's worse. It's killed many more people than that. Christianity is the epicenter of satanic activity today. There is no greater deception, no deeper evil, no more insidious form of idolatry. Even criminal sex pales beside it. As A. Enoch writes in The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, this is A. Enoch's commentary on the book of Revelation. Listen to this. This is from The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, pages 287 to 290, and you can read this at concordant.org. This book is available online for free. I quote, "Here we have the judgment due the nations for their departure from God. The first and foremost charge against them is the worship of demons and idols." Revelation 9, verse 20. "Hence this, the last judgment before the kingdom comes, deals with the religion of the nations and destroys it. It is grave error to suppose that the only superhuman religion is that given by God," capital G, God. "The religions of the nations are not of human origin." God, I get chills reading that. I just listen to this again. "The religions of the nations are not of human origin, nor are their gods mere myths of the imagination. Comparatively few of mankind," listen to this, "comparatively few," this is A. E. Nock writing, I think around 1930, 1940s, writing in his commentary on the unveiling of Jesus Christ. I quote, "Comparatively few of mankind do not worship demons under some form or another. The mass of mankind bow down to demons instead of giving God the glory which is his due." And I'm going to continue this quote, but think of that. Think of that last quote. "The mass of mankind bow down to demons instead of giving God the glory which is his due. This not only includes the teaching of eternal torment, but of human free will. It is taking the glory from God, the responsibility of salvation from God to human beings. That in itself, just the doctrine of human free will, is the epitome of idolatry, because you're putting a human in the place of God. You're worshiping a human. You're giving the human power to save itself. And you're saying that the cross was ineffective. The cross saved no one. Do you realize that is Christian doctrine? The cross by itself saves no one. If it did, then wouldn't everybody be saved consequent to the cross? And that is the truth. Everyone is saved consequent to the cross. Everyone. Jesus Christ saved the entire world at the cross. Done. It was done. It just remains in the fullness of time to come to fruition. As Paul so eloquently says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, you know this verse well, "As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class." All vivified. The same all who are dying in Adam. Same all. You get this truth also in Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. "The mass of mankind bow down to demons, and they have no idea that they're bowing down to demons. In their church, in the Catholic Church where they kneel, and the Pentecostal churches where they raise their hands and sing to Jesus, they're worshiping demons. They're not worshiping the true God and the true Christ. Because the true God did not give away his sovereignty, and the true Christ will not torture the mass of humanity forever, as they believe he will." So who the hell are they worshiping? They're worshiping a false God and a false Christ. They're worshiping demons because it is demons that are behind the Christian religion. They are faking God and Christ. The demons are faking. The demons, specifically, I believe, Baal, Peor. Baal is the old false god worshipped by Israel. They demanded worship of human beings. This is the God, the false God, I believe, who has hijacked the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ. This is why Christians are actually the ones who worship his name in vain. They take his name in vain every day. Take his name in vain, because his name has been stolen by a false god and developed into a human-based religion, Christianity, which puts man as the controller of his own destiny. Just that. But turns God, in addition, turns God into a monster. a codependent, raging monster who will not just kill you for not loving him back, for not returning the favor of his love, but will torture you and your children and your parents forever. God, and they can't see it. They can't see it because God has supernaturally blinded them. There must be this false religion. Why? Same reason Paul says there must be sects among the body of Christ. Why? So that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. There must be false religions in the world so that those who are pursuing the true God, caused by God himself, may be becoming apparent. God wants them to become apparent. He wants them to be known, and he calls them out, but he has to contrast the truth with the falsehood or the truth. How do we know the truth is truth without the falsehood? Just as we need evil to contrast good, we need the falsehood to contrast the true. God himself raised up these false religions. Just as Satan went before God to ask him what he could do against Job, Satan goes before God and says, I would like to develop four religions, one of which will be the worst deception, the most convincing deception on the face of the earth. And I'm going to call it Christianity. I'm going to steal the name of your son. All this is of God. God wanted it this way. It's no less hideous. It's no less satanic. But Satan is under the control of God. God uses Satan to bring about these contrasts without which we have no indication, no knowledge of what is good and what is right and what is true worship. We don't know the true God and the true Christ, except we see how bright they shine against the hideous imitations, the caricatures. And the Christian religion is hideous imitation. It's all imitation. It's frickin' spam. It's frickin' fake lobster. It's just fake, fake, fake. It's a Hollywood wall. It's plastic. It's any fake thing you can think of. That's what it is. There's nothing authentic and genuine about it. The whole thing is fake. And you know that because of their teachings. Their teachings are horrible lies based on mistranslation of Scripture, which God himself made sure the Scriptures, the majority of the Scriptures, not all of them, were mistranslated, because it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. This is from Proverbs. I'll put the verse down here. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to search out a matter. It is God who conceals. Isaiah even said, you are a God who hides yourself, and he hides himself from these religionists, and he gives them false deities instead, and they prove themselves to be not lovers of truth, not lovers of God in Christ, but lovers of tradition, lovers of self. Free will, in order to embrace it, you have to be a lover of yourself. You have to think so highly of yourself. You have to have such amazing confidence in the flesh, do you not? What confidence in the flesh you would have to believe that you control your own destiny. Not only your own destiny, but everything you do every day, you control it. You control it. God sits back and watches what you will do. He watches you performing on the stage of life. And if you do well enough, you'll go to heaven. If you screw it up, you'll go to hell. That's their teaching. Deification of humanity, of the human will. Now listen to this. A.E. Nock again. The religious organizations of the world are the most prolific breeding places of sin. Not the bar, not the strip club, not Jeffrey Epstein, not the X-rated movie theater. The religious organizations of the world. And that's why I've said all addiction, I believe, addictions come from religious prohibition. The religious organizations of the world are the most prolific breeding places of sin. And we thought it was Janet Jackson exposing a nipple during the Super Bowl halftime performance. We thought that was the most prolific breeding place of sin. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Oh, the Christians went crazy over that because it was so evil. And she didn't even expose it. I'll get to that tomorrow. But to just give you a hint, and I don't mean to be funny at all because it's not funny, but I'm telling you, they have made that kind of thing the epitome of morality to avoid what they call sexual immorality, but which is nothing of the kind. And in the meantime, as I said, God works the most insidious form of idolatry ever perpetrated upon the people through their midst. Free will, eternal torment. Can't get over this. The religious organizations of the world are the most prolific breeding places of sin. We must never forget, and this is so true, my God, this is so simple, but we can never forget what I'm about to read to you from Adolf Ernst Nock, who translated the Concordant Literal New Testament. This is so simple, and we all know it. It's a profundity. We need to hear it every day to keep our heads straight. Are you ready for this sentence? We must never forget that the heads of the only divine religion were guilty of the most heinous of all crimes. Not the Roman governor, but the Jewish chief priests crucified the Christ. My God. But if the most exalted men in that God-given ritual committed the greatest of all sins, what can we expect of those who follow the cult of the demons? Continuing to quote, the second woe comes on them because as demon worshipers, they are guilty of murder and enchantment and prostitution and theft. The coloring of the context assures us that these are considered as the accompaniments of religion, a part of the ritual sins, sanctified and sacred. There are only four great religions in the world: Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity. For each, there is a messenger of destruction being prepared. The doom of each has been decreed and only awaits the destined moment. The sixth messenger will loose the four messengers, and they will rid the earth of all its Christless Christianity and godless religions. Before this time, the members of the body of Christ will have been received up into glory. But that event will by no means be the end of Christendom. Christianity has its messenger waiting to unleash his horrid hosts upon the heads of the apostate church.